Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vinny B. Sorry we weren't on last week, but I couldn't connect to the Blog Talk Radio site. I kept dialing and dialing and dialing. This ain't the first time we've had glitches. I mean, it's the second time within a month. Maybe they're upgrading something. Who knows? Who knows? But anyway, we had some action. The first race in the round of eight. Who locks in? Is it a round of four? NHRA in action in Texas. I thought that was last week. I went to wish Erica Enders a happy birthday. And then I told her I hope she wins. But they didn't run until this week. I mean, the schedule is kind of weird. They must have had a big to-do down there. But anyway, that's her home area. Initially, I think she lives in Louisiana now, but well, let's see who did what in the NHRA. It's the Texas Fall Nationals. All righty. Remember I said last time out when Leah Pruitt was like knocking on the door? Well, her and Steve Torrence went up to the finals. Torrence was your number one qualifier. Leah was number seven, so she had a tough time. She was round one, she went up against Sean Langdon. Her reaction was an 060 to his 051. But her 367 was way better than his 924 at 333 miles an hour. And up against Doug Kalita. Sorry, I got a cold, too. Not fun. He had an 038. She had an 073. That's 4 100s. But this 431 was not good enough to her. 369 was a 7, so she's in the 360s. And up against Clay Milligan in the semis. She had an 090. He had an 064. It seemed like they couldn't get it done. She had a 368 with a 1. And he had a 532 with a 5. So everybody that had better reaction time didn't fare too well. So that puts her in the finals. Let's check out former champ Steve Torrence. He's 062 up against Buddy Hall. With an 082. 366 with a 4 versus Buddy's 373. Give it to Steve in the round 2 up against Antron Brown. Steve 076. Antron 042. Torrence 368 with a 4. Antron 373 with a 6. Yeah, that tenth of a second difference isn't going to make up for 3 100ths of a second. Then up against his dad. 096 for Steve, Billy 085, 371 with a 5 for Billy, 369 with a 7. So Steve beats Daddy in the semis up against Leah Pruitt. Okay, Torrence 082 with a 366 with a 2. Leah had an 055, which is 3 100ths quicker off the tree. And a 368 with a 4. So she takes the Wally with a hole shot. I think it's her first win. I'm going to have the first win ever. But in the last couple of years anyway. Low ET was 366 with a 2. Which she did in that final round. Best reaction time, Justin Ashley. And top speed, Mike Salinas. So Leah gets her first win. On to the funny car. It's Matt Hagen and John Forrest. First time John Forrest has been in the finals for a while. So we'll see how this plays out. Hagen was your number one qualifier. John Force was your number two qualifier. So I'll give it to John, being I'm still on his ladder now. 113 to 087 off the tree, but John's 383 with a 9 was a lot faster than Jeff Deal's 10.31. Then up against Cruz Pedregon in round 2. He had a 102, Pedregon 099. That's not much of a difference. Looking at .003. Force had the 384. Pedregon had the 388. So Force moves on. J.R. Todd. This one was Todd gets the advantage off the light with an 036. John Force gets an 050. But Force's 471 was able to sustain more than Todd's 683. On to Matt Hagen. up against Paul Lee in round one, whoever, 067 for Hagen, 064 for Lee. But Hagen's 389 was better than Lee's 501. On the round two against Alex Laughlin, Hagen had an 073. Laughlin had an 061. But 4.3 for Laughlin wasn't close enough to the 3.8 for Hagen. And in the semis, Tim Wilkerson, he's been doing good this year. 081 for Tim, 056 for Hagen. Wilkerson, 389 with a 7. And then Hagen, a little quicker, 387 with a 5. But the tree was a bit, made a big difference as well. All right, into the semis. 062 for Hagen. 054 for Force. John Force had a good reaction in that round. But Hagen with a 388. Force, I guess, having traction issues with a 681 with an 8. Give that to Hagen. And low ET was Force with a 383. Best reaction time, 036 for J.R. Todd. And Hagen gets the top speed at 332.25. All righty. Pro stock. The final comes down to Erica Enders and Dallas Glenn. Dallas Glenn's been on fire of later half of this season, so curious to see how this plays out. Erica, Glenn was your number five qualifier. Erica was your number three qualifier. All right. Glenn with an 015, the Bo Butner, the third's 032. Glenn 649, Butner 833, not close. And then up against our guest, Camry Caruso. This was a tight race. Camry 036, Glenn with an 024. 653 for Camry, 651 for Glenn. It's a shame she couldn't pull that one off. But she's young. She's got to win. She'll get there. And then up Glenn up against Aaron Stanfield. 082 for Glenn, 6.500 for ET. Aaron Stanfield, I guess, did not take the light because there's no time. On the number three, Erica. 056 to Erica versus Eric in round one. Interesting. Erica gets an 056. Eric Latino, who qualified 14th, 035. But Erica was a 646 with a 7. And Eric was a 653. So Erica moves on. Then up against Christian Quadra. 027 for Erica, 049 for Quadra. 647 with a 3 for Erica. 651 with a 1 for Quadra. Then up against teammate Troy Coughlin Jr. 022 for Troy, 012 for Erica. 684 for Coughlin, 647 for Erica. He's been doing them 64s just about all the way through. Then up against Dallas Glenn. 053 for Glenn off the light, 026. He's got him by three there. 649 with a 3 and 646 with a 9. Erica gets the Wally. I told her I hope she wins. I was pulling for her and she did. It was a week later than I thought, but hey. I apologize. Told her I had a brain fart. Lowest DT, 646. Best reaction time, 012. And top speed went to Troy Coughlin. All righty. Pro Stock Motorcycle, qualifying number one, Gage Herrera. Eddie Krawick qualifies number three. So Krawick at 047 against Corey Reed with an 028, 685 for Krawick. 713 for Reed. Krawick moves on. Then up against Matt Smith in round two. 039 for Krawick. 021 for Smith. 673 to Smith. 685. Give it to Krawick. Joey Gladstone. 01. Wow. Krawick. 035. That's a .25 difference. But 681 for Gladstone, 669 for Krawick. Give it to Krawick. And then up in the finals, up against Gage Herrera. Herrera, 097. Blaine Hale, 0.114. 665 to Hale, 726. Give it to Herrera. Round two, 070. Herrera, 665 with a 6. Bostic, no time. He did not take the light. And semis up against Hector Aranda Jr., 068 for Herrera, 6661, 045 for Hector, and the 6734. So give that to Herrera. And then in the final round, Gage Herrera and Eddie Krawick, no reaction time and no ET listed on the site, which is kind of weird. Oh, that hurt. So Gage Herrera somehow takes the Wally. They don't have anything for that one. No ET, no fast top speed. What happened? I don't know. Let's check out the standings now. As we go in, I think we got 2 weeks left. No, I don't want that. Wow. This is a shocker. Leah Pruitt leads the points by 4. Steve Torrance in 3rd. Justin Ashley in 4th. Antron Brown 5th. Mike Salinas 6th. Clay Milliken 7th. Brittany Force 8th. Tony Schumacher 9th. And Austin Prock 10th. Well, that's interesting. I didn't think Leah was that close. Funny car. Matt Hagen has a 36-point lead over Bob Tasca. So right now, TSR, or Tony Stewart Racing, is leading the points in both Nitro divisions. And I think Tony might be leading the points in Top Alcohol Dragster, which is kind of weird, but Pasca second, 36 back. Robert Height, 69 back. Ronnie Capps, 99 back. John Force in fifth, 198 back. J.R. Todd in sixth. Chad Green in seventh. Tim Wilkerson, eighth. Alexis DeJory in ninth. And Alex Laughlin in tenth. So that might stand. I don't know about Leah's and Let's check Pro Stock. I think Eric has got the points lead on this one. Yep. 85 up on Greg Anderson. 93 up on Dallas Glenn. Come on, Erica. Get number six. Matt Hartford, 108 back in fourth. Aaron Stanfield in fifth. Sixth is Troy Coughlin Jr. Seventh is Derek Kramer. Eighth, Kyle Koretsky. Ninth, Camry Caruso. And 10th, Christian Quadra. Why did I got people only on the 16th qualifying for the playoffs? That I don't understand. It used to be 10. What do I know? Pro Stock Bike, Gage Herrera has a 156-point lead over Eddie Krawick and 174 over Matt Smith in third. This one looks like it's in the bag for Gage. Hector Arana, fourth. Chase Van Sant, fifth. Angie Smith, sixth. But she's healing up. I don't think she ran this week. Seventh is Gianna Evaristo. Mark Ingerson is eighth. Steve Johnson, ninth. And Kelly Klontz is in tenth. Well, there you have your just for grins and giggles. Lucas Oil Drag Race standings. Julie Nottis is in first. Tony Stewart is in second, but he's 120 back. So I don't think he's going to take the championship. But, hey, this is first year drag racing. You got to give him props for that. I mean, he's won an IndyCar championship. He's won NASCAR Cup Series championships. I think he's just priming in top alcohol dragster to go up in the top fuel. And giving the missus a hard time. We'll wait and see, but that's where Tony Stewart is. So we'll just have to wait and see. All right, Xfinity Series. Here's how it went. At Vegas Motor Speedway. 1.5 mile cookie cutter. Vegas, Texas, Charlotte. You know what I'm talking about. It's all Bruton Smith track. So Riley Herbst, I actually watched him take the win. He is not in the playoffs, so he's a spoiler. Led three times for 103 of the 201 laps. He won stage two. And he gets 6 playoff points, even though he's not in the playoffs. John Hunter Nemechek, second. Cole Custer, third. Chandler Smith, fourth. Sam Mayer, fifth. Justin Allgaier, sixth. Austin Hill, seventh. These are all playoff guys. Eighth is Brandon Jones. He's not. Ninth is Daniel Hemric, and he's a playoff guy. And then rounding out the top 10 is Lane Riggs. He's not in the playoffs. Stage one was won by Cole Custer, who led three times for 62 laps. Average speed, 130.598. Margin of victory, man, that's not even close, 14.959 seconds. I would have just rounded it up to 15 at that point. Race 2 hours, 18 minutes, 31 seconds. This is Herbst's first career Xfinity Series race. And there were 5 cautions for 26 laps and 11 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. Let's check out the standings, and then we'll go to the press release conference. John Hunter Nemechek first, Justin Allgaier second. Okay, this is the second round. So the round of Finkel third, Cole Custer fourth, Chandler Smith fifth, Sam Mayer sixth, Sammy Smith seventh, Sheldon Creed eighth, Daniel Hemric ninth, but he's out of the playoffs. And so is Parker Kligerman. Sheldon Creed is 73 points behind the leader. So he's going to have to climb up at least four spots to get to fourth. I don't know if that's going to happen, but you never know. Let's see what our winner has to say. Riley Herbst.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get started with our post-race media availability. We're now joined by Riley Herbst, driver of the number 98 Stuart Haas Racing Ford. Riley, your first NASCAR Xfinity Series win comes here at your home track, Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Just walk me through the emotion.
We just beat everybody in the playoffs, trying to go to Phoenix. They all brought their best stuff, and we whooped them about by 10 seconds. So, yeah, everybody said I can't do it, couldn't do it, won't win, not good enough. I just thought I would just beat them. So I'm pretty happy with myself, happy with Stuart Haas Racing for sticking behind me. This is a huge weight off my shoulders. It's just I'm so relieved to be here in Victory Lane and in my home city.
Congratulations. We are now going to go to questions. We'll start here in the front with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan kicking the tire side net. Okay, so you put a whooping on the field, but at any point in those closing laps, did you think, oh, my car's messing up, I'm missing, something's missing, I've got a tire that's loose, or, you know, were you nervous at all? Were the gremlins going through your mind?
I was only concerned about a caution. I didn't want something funny to happen, but then at that same point, I knew that I couldn't control other people's race cars. I couldn't control debris. I just had to focus on hitting my marks, being consistent. And if there was a caution, we're going to have to race them at the end. And if I would have finished second, third, tenth, whatever, I knew that I would have done the best out to my ability, and that's what I did today. So I wasn't too focused on what could have happened. I just kind of tried to take it one corner at a time.
Obviously in your hometown, so what's this party going to be like tonight?
Pretty spectacular.
Plans we're at?
We're going downtown. We're going to watch my Trojans beat up on Notre Dame, and then we're going to go drink.
All right, we're going to go next to Bob Pockers.
Bob Harkers, Fox Sports. So what was the difference today?
I don't know. I feel like all year, as much as you guys might shake your head, but I feel like all year we've shown this brilliance of speed, and either we've messed up on pit road, I've overstepped my boundaries, I've hit the fence, I've been wrecked. And I feel like today none of that just happened. I feel like I came here last year and ran 15th, right? Came here today, won by 10 seconds. I did not drive any different. And I feel like that is the biggest thing that is a misconception in this sport with drivers from the top to the bottom in all the series. I just didn't become that much of a better race car driver to beat the best Xfinity field in a long time at Vegas by 10 seconds when last year I could barely hold my weight to be in the top 10. So I feel like everything has to go right, and you just have to continue to believe in yourself and be confident.
Zach, and then to Tom.
Hey, hello, NASCAR.com. Riley, congratulations. You talked about the weight that's been lifted off of you. How much of a toll has this year taken on you, just the ups and downs that have come with it? Because you talked about the speed that you guys have shown at times. To go through those ups and downs and now to be on the other side of it with, you know, celebrating here, what's this been like for you?
I think the biggest thing is when people aren't around, when you don't finish well, and you go home by yourself, you go to dark places, to be honest with you, and you start to question yourself, and that's all that falls back on foundation, and you have to have good people around you. And for a while in my career, I didn't. And I'd start to question myself and wonder if I could do this. But whenever I was down, I would get a call from somebody at Monster, knowing that they believed in me, and they told me that they supported me no matter what, through the ups and downs. When a lot of people didn't support me, there was a few people who did. That was Monster Energy and obviously my parents. So some teams didn't support me either. And I'm very grateful to everybody at SHR, Greg Zipidelli, for that stepping up to the plate when I didn't really have a place to go. And they took me in, and they knew that they could polish me and work with me and help me grow to become the person I am. And there's still so much growth for me to become. And hopefully I can stay at SHR for a long time to come.
Okay, we're going to go to Tom, and then to Justin.
Tom Zaleski, Iron County today. Riley, I hate to correct you at first, but it was 15 seconds that you won by
perfect.
Today.
Thank you.
But with this, you passed Cole in the final lap of stage two to win, and then there weren't any yellows in that final stage. Are you radio silent? Are you trying not to get too nervous? Anybody else in your ear at that point? How was that final stage unfolding for you as your lead is getting wider?
It was really odd. I truly wasn't too nervous because I knew I was doing the best of my capability, like I said earlier. And if there was a caution, I was just going to take it at face value. We were probably going to come down and get tires, and we're going to have to go race them. But I knew once I passed the double zero there on the final lap in stage two, I knew we had a shot at it. It was just a matter of everything went well and we executed correctly, and ultimately we did. But I was just taking it lap by lap. They were telling me to back up my pace. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, I'm not good enough to back up my pace. I'm just going to go until a caution or the checkered flag comes out. And luckily, that's what happened.
All right, we'll go to Justin.
Justin Schuler, kicking the tires. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in Victory Lane, there was a 100 banner or 100th. What was that?
Yeah, Stuart Haas Racing, 100th win. Riley Herbst, you ever thought that would happen, huh? Yeah. All you guys are laughing, huh? Yeah, Riley Herbst, 100th win for Stuart Haas Racing. So that will be in the history books. And like I said, I'm so grateful for everybody at that organization. Through all the ups and downs, they've been behind me. And
So you just mentioned it. It's in the history books. So not only is this your first career win, but you got them 100. Like, that's your name. Like, how does that feel? Or do you have to – is that something that you're going to be better answered on Monday or something?
I don't know. It's cool. Like I said, I'm just over the moon here. I've worked so hard just to be in this sport to try to prove myself and to continue to stay. And then when you miss the playoffs in this caliber of equipment, albeit crew chief change, wrecks, whatever it is, you still miss the playoffs. That's what it boiled down to. That was a huge failure in my book. But I walked in the garage with your head down every race weekend, just being embarrassed. But my guys, Davin and the 98 team, had faith in me, and they told me we were going to win before this year's out, and we did. So I'm just so in debt to all those guys.
Second question. I asked you a few weeks ago before you made the announcement of what you're doing next year, but all the questions of are you going to go to Cup, what are you going to do, and you said you don't want to go to Cup. You want to win an Xfinity first. That's your top priority.
Yep.
That box checked. What's next?
Well, I've signed my contract for Stuart Haas Racing and the Xfinity Series next year. And even after today, I'm not where I want to be. I don't think I can strap up with the best of them on Sunday and try to go win races. I can go to the garage and go run mid-20s to 30s in a Cup car, but I don't know. That's not really what I want to do for the rest of my life, to be honest with you. So I want to be the best I can be, hone my craft, and when I feel like I'm to the caliber of Cup drivers, and when the people around me feel like I'm to the caliber of the best guys on Sunday, I feel like we'll make that jump.
I'm going to go next to Mike.
Well, there you have Riley Herbst. You know, that was smart. Not making the move to Cup until you feel you're ready. And he knows he's not ready. He's signed an extension, you know, for the Xfinity Series. I mean, Christ, he just got his first win. Give the guy a chance to blossom in that series. That's, I think, the problem with a lot of people. Come to a race, and then the next thing you know, they're in one series, and then before they can either, you know, hone in the entry levels, they're moving up. Got to move up. I've seen it with several people. I mean, and this is, you know, going back over the years, it's like Danica, she went from IndyCar. She ran maybe a year and a half in the Xfinity Series, doesn't have anything to show for it, and went to Cup. Did she run decent? And she got a pole at Daytona. But I don't think she ever won a Cup race. And she never finished in the top 10 very often. Was that a testament to her talent, or did she just jumped the gun too fast and, you know. And move up. I mean, she did bring a good sponsor with her, GoDaddy. And I think that had a lot to it. They can get that exposure for GoDaddy, but if you're running in the back, it doesn't help much. But, you know, then Shauna Robinson got with BAM, which is not your top-notch cup team, and it didn't pan out. And that's the problem. I think, like, Haley Deegan, I say keep an eye out for her, but she's going to be running Xfinity next year. But, again, has she won in the Truck Series? Has she even won in ARCA? I'd have to check. But, I mean, she comes from a racing background. Her dad and brother are motocross racers, so, you know, it's not like she's not used to it, but I hate to see her get pushed to the front and then not succeed. I mean, you look at NHRA, right? Women there become champions. Brittany Force, Top Fuel, twice. Shirley Muldowney, the original one, three times. Angel Sampei, I think she's got three titles. And yet Erica, who's got five, working on six. I mean, again, I think the problem in NASCAR is it takes time to grow in a series before you can move up. All righty, on to the Cup Series. Okay, we're going to the round of four. Who is the first one to lock in? Well, leading seven times, 433 laps, winning both stages. So 133 out of 267, that's half the race. Kyle Larson locks in. There's two more events to see who locks in, and the rest are on points. Christopher Bell, second. Kyle Busch, out. Third. Brad Keselowski, fourth. Ross Chastain, fifth. Ryan Blaney, sixth. So Busch, Keselowski, and Chastain were eliminated. Blaney's still in. Apparently, a little shenanigans. I don't know what happened there, but first they said he was disqualified. And then they undisqualified, gave him his position back in the race. William Byron is seventh. Tyler Reddick is eighth. Martin Truex, ninth. And Denny Hamlin rounds out your top ten. The race was 2 hours, 57 minutes, 10 seconds. Average speed, 135.635. Margin of victory, 0.082. This is Kyle Larson's 23rd Cup Series victory. There were seven cautions for 36 laps. And 20 lead changes amongst seven drivers. Let's check out the standings. Driver points. Kyle Larson leads the driver points. He's got four wins on the season. William Byron is second. Martin Truex is third. Hamlin fourth. Christopher Bell fifth. Tyler Reddick sixth. Ryan Blaney seventh. And Chris Buescher is in eighth. We'll see. Kyle's locked in. Points don't matter at this point for him. Let's see who's going to win next time. We'll find out. Matter of fact, maybe we'll see where they're at. I'll make a prediction. We're in Homestead, all three series. All right, let's get Hendrick Motorsports winning team. Vice Chairman Jeff Gordon, crew chief Cliff Daniels and Kyle.
Can have your attention here in the media center. We are now joined by NASCAR Hall of Famer and Hendrick Motorsports Vice Chairman Jeff Gordon. With the number 5 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet, Jeff, congratulations on the victory today. That 5 car and Kyle had speed all day, but also a lot of resilience. Walk us through the race from your perspective.
Yeah, I don't know where to begin. It certainly looked like, you know, they were the class of the field at one point, and then, you know, it looked like Bell was, and, you know, then Keselowski came in there. I mean, it was a great battle, a great race, really. And, you know, just I thought it sounded to me like Kyle was loose at the beginning, so I think they made one pretty major adjustment. They lost a little track position there, but it was in an effort to tighten the car up, and it definitely did. It's just they probably lost a little more track position than they would have liked. So just trying to watch them get that back, and, you know, the restarts were intense, and then, you know, that time when Kyle got loose off of 2, I mean, you could just tell he's working really hard. Sometimes you don't know how hard these guys are working, how on edge these cars are, until something like that happens and reminds you just how hard they're pushing. But, you know, great job to him to keep it out of the wall and keep them in the race. I thought that might be the end of their day, and I didn't know what the damage was on the right rear. Usually even that slight damage has an effect on the performance, but it seemed like their car was bounced right back. And then, you know, it was a total team effort because of that last pit stop. I thought that it was a great stop to get them out front. Of course, still had to battle it out on those restarts, but yeah, that was good. My gosh, what a nail biter on those last few laps. I was sweating that one. You saw Bell really working that outside lane and making some great momentum off the corner, and you know, just didn't seem like there was a whole lot Kyle could do other than just stick to his line, and then they made contact. So wasn't even sure when they were coming to the line if it was going to work out that way, but it did. So it was a great day, and great to, you know, capture this win, get them to Phoenix for the championship. That's huge for us at Hendrick. Still more work to do. Got to get the 24 in there. Rough day for Chase on the owners. So, you know, we got some work to do there too over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll open the floor for questions. We're going to start here with Jeff, and we'll go to Justin.
I tried to answer as many of your questions right there in my opening statement. No kidding. You tell me. I saw they were up, you know, and they looked strong to start. And then what happened? I don't know. Listen, there may be some Cleveland Brown fans in here, so I'm not going to disrespect anybody.
You know, all this week, won a sprint car championship, did Indy 500 testing, and now wins a key NASCAR playoff race. Is there any way to put in perspective what this guy is doing with the broader motorsports landscape?
Yeah, how do you win your own championship? That's my question. I mean, it's certainly a great week. You know, I was up there with him in Indy, and you know, it's just like kind of childhood dreams for me, him, his dad, you know, Rick Hendrick. I mean, just, you know, being up there at Indy was so special. You know, and I felt like all of our teams had confidence coming into this race. I think that, you know, with the win earlier in the year, this track's been pretty good to us in the fall, the last couple of years, as far as speed. So there's a lot of confidence by everybody coming into this weekend. And, you know, other than the unfortunate failure by the 9, I thought the cars, you know, all continued to show speed, you know, throughout the day, but, you know, the conditions, the heat of the track and just you know, tires and wear and all those things, track position was just, it was challenging. It was a tough day. So, you know, to see them overcome the adversity and some of the challenges and be able to get it into victory lane and it'd be such a great race right down to the wire. I mean, that's what you want to see in this round of the playoffs going to the championship.
We'll go Justin, then Jerry, then Jonathan.
Justin Schuler kicking the tires. Jeff, you're talking about the resilience of Kyle Larson, but what about the rest of the team? Because obviously you had the tire issues on Saturday and then more tire issues plaguing other people today. So from your perspective, what's going through your mind with the constant tire issues just being nonstop? And then especially in that third stage, the runs are longer. So is that starting to be a concern, seeing Bell close in and having that slight concern? Is it going to push too hard and have a tire issue there and have that be detrimental?
Yeah, I mean, I think our guys, from everything I was talking to them about, they were pretty conservative, I thought, today. And Goodyear kept giving reports back to them that all of our tires that they were looking at, I don't know if they were cutting tires apart, looking at the inside shoulder, but they kept coming back saying they look good. So, I don't think that was too much of a worry, but of course you'd never know. You might get one tire that just reacts a little bit different, or maybe they push really hard, on a restart. I felt like the first run was the one that seemed to make everybody the most nervous because the speeds were fast and Larson was out front and, pushing it. So I was a little bit nervous about that, but there at the end, felt pretty good about it, but you never know, I've learned not just being a driver, but especially in this position when I have no control over it, that you just don't get your hopes up or get, your mind going there till that car crosses the checkered flag. And so, it was just great to see him, do that at the end.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. I'm going to make it a little controversial here. So how good is Kyle Larson, and is he a better driver than you are?
Yes. I'm glad I didn't have to race. I got my butt kicked by one guy, Hendrick Motorsports, as my teammate. I didn't need to have two of them. So, you take a guy like Kyle and his capabilities and his talent, and he's impressed me with his work ethic too. I wasn't sure how he approached, the Cup Series and especially with Cliff and all the data and all the homework that Cliff gives him, and the meetings that they have. Cliff's an intense guy and he brings a lot to the table. So that's a lot of information that you have to absorb. But he stepped up to the plate and has done everything that the organization could possibly ask out of him and then some. And it's been a great, relationship. And, this year it's just all about getting the car and the team and everything to align. They've kind of been up and down, this year, made some mistakes earlier in the year, but it seems like in the playoffs, I feel like, they've just been bringing fast race cars and stepping up to the plate. I mean, Texas was tough, right, because he was in such a good place and that battle, he and Bubba, and the result of that. And then what happened in the role where you're like, oh, gosh, is this going to be a repeat of the year before? But, I knew when they got through the Roval, this round was going to be extremely good for them. They run good, really, at all three of these tracks, but especially this one in Homestead.
We're going to go to Jonathan, then to Zach, then to Jim, then to Cole.
John Field, the racing expert, ESPN Radio Albuquerque. Looking through the years being at Hendrick Motorsports, internally, what do you believe Kyle Larson has, brought to the team that, I guess, makes it different from previous years?
Well, I think, anybody that's bringing a high level of talent and aggressiveness and speed to match up with the people that are building the cars and the people that, it's about having confidence in one another. I'll remember the first time I met with Cliff Daniels and told him, who we were looking to be his new driver. And you saw, he lit up, he was excited about that. And so there's certain drivers that bring that, not a lot of them, but the ones that do instantly elevate up the team. And then, like I said, but you got to follow that up with, you got to work hard at it too. And he's doing both of those things. So a good combination.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Jeff, you mentioned earlier how huge this is to get Kyle to the championship four locked in today. How pivotal is it? What Hendrick Motorsports obviously strives to bring championship caliber equipment to the racetrack every week, but what does this allow Cliff and the entire number five team to do that's different without the stress of worrying about Homestead or Martinsville?
Yeah, I mean, it's different now with, this car versus the old car. The old car, right, we always say, ooh, now you can start thinking about ways you can twist and turn it and, make it a superior car when you go to Phoenix. But this car is way different than that. So certainly allows them to take some stress off, but focus really on the areas that they just need to focus on to keep the speed coming in the race cars. I know Cliff and this team and Kyle, they're going to want to go to Homestead and dominate there and try to win there and go to Martinsville and do the same. These are not guys that are just going to sit back. I think they're also going to be great team players. They the way that our teams are communicating and working together this year it's been progressing over several years, but it's the best I've ever seen it right now. And that's what it takes, in my opinion, to go win a championship. Phoenix is a total team effort, total organization effort. And, you know, now that they're locked in, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they work with one another to try to get William, do everything we can to get William in there, and then try to go battle it out among them in Phoenix.
Go next to Jim.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. Jeff,
where are you, Jim?
All right, right here.
Oh, there you are. Sorry.
You look on paper, and Kyle wins both stages, and he leads the most laps, but nothing, it seems, with Kyle comes easy on the track.
He does tend to want to
when you
do
hit
that
the wall
time
and
time
nearly
time.
Spin out once or twice. And I was just wondering, is that kind, and his ability to overcome those things, is that just something that you guys grown accustomed to and part of what makes him special?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy knows how to win, clearly. And I mean, I think Cliff and he have some real heart-to-heart, you know, discussions about some of those instances, and on both sides, I would say, you know, from whether it's a strategy call or something, a misstep on pit road, or Kyle and restarts. But it's more about being able to have the trust in one another, where you can have those kind of hard conversations, because you just want to get better. You just want everybody to get better, and they're able to do that. Actually, Kyle welcomes it. Every time I talk to him, you know, about some of those conversations, he's like, "No, I welcome it. I love the intensity, the passion that Cliff and the engineers bring, and how they you know they want to push me at all times." So that, it's good. So no, I don't think you can change that. You know, you don't want to change that in a guy like Kyle. If it's a new up and coming younger driver, you know, and you feel like those are conversations need to be had, then yeah, you have them. But I've never had to have that one with Kyle.
Okay, we're going to wrap here with Jeff with Cole.
Cole Cusimano with the Arizona Republic. Jeff, first off, congrats on the win. And then just want to fast forward to Phoenix, to the Xfinity side. You have Roger Carruth making the start in the 17 car. I would just love to know what you make of him and his driving abilities and what made him a good fit for the organization.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so, you know, cool that it's going to be at Phoenix to have him in the car. That's the first time I ever met Raj and his dad, was at Phoenix in the garage, maybe like the ARCA or Xfinity garage. And, you know, just meeting him for the first time was like, wow, this kid seems very professional and very driven and well-spoken. And I was like, you know, I look forward to watching his career. And I've followed it along the way. And you just never know what a driver is getting into as far as equipment. And this time we're going to know, you know, he's going to be in good Hendrick Motorsports equipment. We got to make sure we button up some things so we don't, you know, have an issue like we had at the Roval with Boris. But we're looking forward to giving him a good race car and a good race team. And I think I'd just like to see him go put a solid effort in there and just, you know, make every lap. I think it's probably going to be the most important thing first.
Well, Jeff, before you get to Phoenix, you know, you have Homestead Tech.
All right, there you have Jeff Gordon. I ran out of, if I tried to play the whole thing, I'd run out of time. Anyway, on to Homestead. Truck Series, Saturday, 12 noon, Fox Sports 1 for the Baptist Health Cancer Care 200. And at 3 p.m., on USA Network is the Contender Boats 300 Xfinity Series. And on and regular NBC, the Forever 400 presented by Mobile One at 2:30 Eastern Time. So that's round two. Then we go to Martinsville. So that's going to be the final deciding race to see who locks into the top four at Phoenix. It's just weird. Usually the final race used to be at Homestead, but they changed the schedule around. Anyway, that's our show for today. Glad we were able to get on. We'll see you all next week. I'm Vinny B. Don't forget to check out They Still Live podcast on rumble.com. Jeff Sander, who played Dale Earnhardt, and Colonel Sanders, and a few other TV roles, is the host, and we have a good time there. So to see a side of me there that you don't get here. Well, see you all next week. Good day. Good racing. Bye now.